And also joining us at the Roadhouse on the Shore is Denny Fitzpatrick. As I mentioned earlier, Denny, of course, is well-known here in Cook County, has been lived here for a long, long time, and been very active politically as well, and this year was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. Denny, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. Say, by the way, I saw your picture in the paper today at the convention, the Minnesota delegation in the background. You had to have taken that yourself. That looked like one of those where you're taking...
Yeah, I took it with my iPhone at myself to show the whole background. Yeah.
So you've been involved with politics for a long time.
Well, actually not real active until about 2008. I really started becoming more active. But it's a funny story. Back in 1968, in Chicago was the only other convention, national convention I've ever been to. But at that point, I was in the street getting tear gassed, protesting at the time. I had just come out of the Peace Corps in Burkina Faso, West Africa, and landed in Chicago. And they said, you got to come down. The whole world is watching. And so from that day forward, 1968 Chicago, I've been mildly involved in politics.
You took an interest in it.
Yeah.
So you were there just strictly by accident?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Pulled in from Peace Corps, Burkina Faso, West Africa, and landed in Chicago. And what a world of change it made in my life.
A convention that is still well remembered by anybody who was around at that point in time.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about current events. And for those that don't know, and I think maybe there are a fair number of people that don't, how did you wind up becoming a delegate to the national convention? Because there's a very definite process by which delegates become delegates.
That's correct. And I say I feel like Forrest Gump, sort of being in the right place at the right time. And actually, like Woody Allen said, showing up is 80% of life. So you show up at the precinct caucuses first, and that's where I started. And everyone should go to their precinct caucus if they can, because that's where the whole democratic process begins. From the precinct caucuses, you get elected to go to the county convention, the Cook County Convention, and then from there you get elected to go to the regional Congressional District 8 convention, and that's where I was actually elected from CD8. I had to get up and give a little speech. And
the process that you've just described is the same for the Democrats or the Republicans,
exactly.
At least in the state of Minnesota, because we are a state that still do the caucuses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the same for everybody. Just show up, and if you want to get involved, you can.
So when you went to the congressional convention, where you became a delegate, do you express an interest? Do you tell somebody, I want to be considered as a candidate, and then you get put on a slate? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, you fill out a little form that says, I'd like to go to the national convention. They put you on a slate of candidates, and you all get up and give a little speech about why you'd like to go, and then the delegates there at the convention vote for you. And I told them my story about being in Chicago in 68, and wouldn't it be an ironic full circle to be on the inside of the building this time? And I said, but I'd rather you send Sean Kieran, this 17-year-old from Pine City. I said, you got to send a 17-year-old. And so then Sean got up and said, hey, you got to send Denny and me. We'll change the world. And so they voted for both of us, and he ended up being my roommate there in Charlotte, North Carolina. Had a great
Charlotte.
Time.
I said Charleston, South Carolina. It was Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's right.
I got to get more involved in public affairs. So you get elected, and it's out of the congressional conventions, not the state convention.
And then a few more get elected at the state convention, some at-large delegates there. So they end up sending about 99 delegates from Minnesota out of maybe there's 6,000 delegates nationwide.
Wow.
And then they put you in this arena with 22,000 screaming people. It's quite an event.
I'll bet it is. Now, what about the states that and maybe you know this, maybe you don't. What about the states that don't have caucuses, you know, that have primaries and so forth? How do they go about electing their delegates? Do you know?
I can't tell you exactly because I'm so familiar with our process, but there must be the same sort of procedure. You start at the lowest level of the political spectrum and you submit a letter saying you'd like to
sure.
go to the national convention, and then you get bumped up.
So the convention itself, at least the coverage of it, was about 4 days long. Are you responsible for all of your own costs? I mean, in terms, and what arrangements do they make for you, and what do you have to do on your own? You mentioned that you roomed with this young man from Pine City. Are your room reservations made for you, or do you have to do that? What's that process?
Well, the cost is supposed to all come out of your own pocket, number one. They do make the arrangements, but you have to give them your credit card, and they'll make the room reservation for you. They provide a fair amount of transportation to and from convention center, but you're really on your own responsibility to get there and mm-hmm. to pay for everything. Mm-hmm. But the Cook County DFL gave me a stipend, and the state DFL gave me a stipend, and then we had this whole fundraiser drive of Send Denny to Charlotte. So, because it's kind of a pricey trip, and it wasn't in the budget, so it all worked
out
fine.
I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that's true. What is a day like there? And what, as a delegate, what actually do you do? And the other thing is, did you have a vest with 10,000 buttons on it like I've seen?
A lot of bling, a lot of flair. Yeah, everywhere you turn, they give you another button. Yeah, that weighted down. It was an extremely demanding and challenging pace and schedule. I was surprised at how demanding it was. It felt a lot like a forest fire fighting assignment for the Forest Service because we were getting very little sleep, maybe 4 hours of sleep a day.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, 4 hours of sleep, sleeping on the floor, food on the go when you could. It's hurry up and wait, high temperature, 91 degrees, sleeping on the ground, like a forest fire assignment. except they had this element of carnival or state fair. There were marching bands and kind of revival tent feeling to it all.
Uh-huh.
And but all these wonderful, enthusiastic, passionate, articulate people from all walks of life and many different ethnic backgrounds. It was just very inspiring.
So as a delegate, and you said not much sleep, the schedule was intense, doing what?
Okay, well, it started off breakfast at 7 o'clock for all the Minnesota delegates. That's where you get your credentials for the day, and you can't get into anything without your credentials. So get up at 6 o'clock, get over there for breakfast at 7. There also were speeches from leaders and representatives at the breakfast. That would go on until 10, 10:30. Then I would do a few tweets and Facebooks and emails of what's been going on because I wanted to keep people informed of mm-hmm. what was happening. Then I'd get on the light rail to ride to Uptown Charlotte. And it's Uptown Charlotte. They don't want to put their town down, so they call it Uptown. So we'd ride the light rail to Uptown. There are many different constituency caucuses going on during the day, formulating policies for various constituencies like the senior caucus, the youth caucus, the African American caucus, Hispanic, Native American Women's Caucus, Veterans, Military Families Caucus, Small Business Owners, and AAPI. So what's an AAPI caucus? That's Asian American Pacific Islander Caucus. Okay, so then you finally get to the convention center. They gavel you in at 4 o'clock, so you try to get there a little early to get in there through security. Security uh-huh. is pretty tight.
I'm sure.
And then you're there until 11 o'clock at night for the main primetime convention. Get out of there, find your way to the light rail, get back to the hotel by maybe 2 in the morning, and lucky to get 4 hours of sleep.
That's amazing.
So I'm tired, but a good tired.
Sure.
It was a high energy. It was great.
So were you there a total of 4 days, 5 days?
Yeah, I arrived actually on Sunday, and then there was a Labor Day festival downtown Charlotte where they welcomed us officially, and then I flew out on Friday morning, so yeah. it was about 6 days.
And with travel time, you're right, that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
You know, it struck, and I want to remind our listeners, we're visiting with Denny Fitzpatrick, who was I believe you're the first Cook County resident ever to be a national delegate at a major party convention. Is that
at
right?
At the Democratic National Convention. I believe there were a couple of Republicans in history, but I was the first that we know of that was a Cook County DFLer to attend, to be elected to a national convention. Yeah, so it's kind of history.
You bet. When you look at it, everything is clearly very well choreographed, thought out, planned. By the time that, well, certainly with the Democrats, with an incumbent president, we know who the candidate is. On the Republican side, the candidate was a foregone conclusion long before. Is there still a benefit other than the entertainment value to having national conventions?
It's a good question. Somebody compared it to the crouch before the spring. It gets everyone kind of enthused on the same message, and it's very inspiring to get together with these people and share ideas. Yeah, there's all the hoopla of the media coverage, but there's a lot more that goes on there that's very important, and it's really worthwhile doing.
What was your most pleasant surprise? What were you most surprised about that was pleasing to you?
Well, I was just struck by the diversity of people, and they were all so warm and friendly and hugging, and it was just an amazing feeling to be there. The entertainment by people like James Taylor, Foo Fighters, Mary Jane Blige, all that, it was great too. One experience at the James Taylor concert outside, it started pouring rain on us. This was before the convention started in the afternoon. Pouring rain, just soaking rain. And, you know, there were thousands of us there just all getting soaked. And everybody had a smile on their face. And I turned to somebody and said, "We're all among friends here. You're among friends." And they were smiling and laughing and just soaking wet. You know, it was just a great experience.
Is it the kind of experience that you think to yourself, okay, that's great, I did that, it was a wonderful experience, I've done that, and I can say I've been to a national convention? Or is it something you think, no, I really want to do that again?
Ah, it's too soon to say. I'm still recovering.
Still trying to catch up on your sleep.
Once I catch up on my sleep, I'll reevaluate. It's something everybody should do in their lifetime if they can or could, and everyone can. That's the beauty of it with the democratic process. And some people take this for granted, that it's such a wonderful thing we have. One of our delegates came to the U.S. as a refugee from Thailand when she was 4 months old. Some of her family died in some political turmoil there. And she said, don't take this for granted. Mm-hmm. This whole process to be able to vote, to go through this whole democracy is such an important, valuable, priceless treasure we have.
Yeah. Now, was there anything that surprised you in a negative way that you think, oh, gee, I'm not crazy about that? I'm not trying to dwell on the negative, but
no. Just well, once again,
other than lack of sleep.
Yeah, lack of sleep, the demanding schedule and the pace that required such energy. I have great admiration for her politicians that can keep up this pace and then say something articulate. I was just becoming incoherent. I couldn't put a whole full sentence together after 4 days of that, you know. Huh. And so I have great admiration for the stamina that's required.
Well, you know, and you alluded to it, in spite of the fact that there's a lot of hoopla, there's a lot of, obviously, money goes into these things. It is democracy at its perhaps finest hour. When on both sides of the aisle, at their respective conventions, the delegates can come together and put forward their candidates and their platforms and all the rest.
Yeah, and I often say democracy is a participatory sport that I really encourage everyone in Cook County to be involved, young, old, of to get out to vote, get involved, stay informed, have meaningful discussions of the issues. Because we're all in this together, you know, we the people making a more perfect union, we're stronger together, we're better together, so I just encourage everyone to get out and vote.
Yeah, and be involved. Well, thanks to you, I was going to say thanks to you who do stuff like this, then I don't have to. But seriously, thank you for your efforts in that regard. And thanks so much for being willing to come in and talk to us about it.
Well, it was an honor and a privilege and pleasure to be on this iconic Roadhouse show with Buck and Bob. I mean, this is really big. This is
iconic. At last, Buck,
yeah,
you've arrived.
You're an institution. This is really big.
We should be in an institution.
As I understand it, that's pretty soon. Yeah, Deb has plans for us.
This is a really big deal. And I also want to really thank all my donors and supporters that made it possible for me to get there. Like I said, it was a pricey trip. And I just have gratitude and appreciation forever for all my donors and sponsors.
And do you think, and just one last question, because of that, is there anybody that gets, do you think that maybe doesn't do it because of the price, and is there a different way to fund it, do you think, or maybe not?
That's a good question. I think that if someone really, really wanted to go, there'd be a way to get
there.
There's
a way.
Yeah, I think at some state level, they'd say nobody would be denied for financial reasons. But fundraisers, it worked. I had online, there's GoFundMe.com, and put that up, and I got donations from around the nation.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
great.
So it was good.
Super. Denny, thanks so much for being here, and thanks for all your work on our behalf.
And thanks to WTIP, community, serving the community. It's like in the Peace Corps, Sergeant Shriver said, serve, 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 because it's the servants that will save the world.
Now,
and you guys are doing your part.
And I want to find out this, too. Here's the last question. Did you really set Buck up with dinner with the U.S. ambassador to Uganda?
Yeah. Jimmy Colker.
He did.
Jimmy Colker was in Peace Corps. He came riding through our town, and we put him up and took care of him. And then later, when he became an ambassador, he said, anytime you need anything. And I said, well, I got these friends coming through Uganda.
These two glumps coming.
I got to say, we were shining.
I'll bet.
It doesn't happen every day.
I'm sure that's true.
I'll always be grateful for Danny.
Do you have any pictures to substantiate this?
No.
Thanks, Danny.
Mine.
I think we do.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.